The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Big day for the BS Report. One of my favorites for a long time. He has a new show that premiered actually on Saturday, Super Dave Spectacular, but it's going to run on Tuesdays at 9 p.m., and now he is on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Super Dave Osborne, what's happening?
How are you, Bill?
So I got the dates right. It's not running every Saturday. It was just that first Saturday, right? Or is
that
every Saturday?
It was just a sneak preview. They wanted to give it a good boost, so they put it behind the UFC Randy Couture fight.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, that was a lead-in. But it'll be on for the next 4 weeks on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
Awesome. And what are you going against? Are you going against, like, NCIS Memphis? Like, what's the competition?
It isn't much. It's John and Kate and the Kardashians and then an NCIS game.
Well, I think you could take them. So you're going to do four episodes.
Yeah,
you've taped the four already.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Great. I think you'll love them.
Was it
happy you tuned in Saturday night. That's great.
It's on my TiVo.
All right, go ahead.
I TiVo'd it. No, I watched.
No,
you'll
love it. I promise you, it's laugh out loud funny. I think.
I told you I watched the episode that had Kim on it.
How funny!
Which I enjoyed.
That?
It was good. It was. It's nice to see Kimmel act. He's one of the greats.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, first we got to talk about Curb because it was on last night. Second to last
How
episode.
Funny was that?
You stole the show.
How funny was that joke?
All right, so walk me through the process. Did you ad-lib the joke?
Yeah, it's my joke.
Your joke, and Seinfeld and Larry David had no idea it was coming.
Well, I told it to Larry about five or six times because he didn't want to laugh.
Okay, yeah, because he was poker-faced the whole time.
Yeah, and Jerry, when I first told it, fell on the floor.
Right.
But because it was so a little, you know, off-color, they cut the laugh down a little bit.
So you had to tape it twice.
Is all the cast were sitting at the table, and they were told not to laugh. And when I told the joke, you just heard snot coming out of their noses. They were just wheezing.
Well, one of those people was me. I missed the next minute of the show because I was doubled over on the couch.
How great is that joke?
It's a great one. And
and the character is so funny because to come up to Jerry and say, hi, Jerry, Marty Funkhauser, want to hear a joke. But he said, no, I don't. But that didn't stop me.
When was your first Curb Your Enthusiasm appearance? Was it like season
About
three?
About 4 years ago.
So, yeah. And what do you remember what it was?
Yes, I do, but I
was it a funeral?
I remember we were at a table. I can't exactly remember the episode. I remember that Larry and I had I remember we had an argument over plaque.
Yep.
Plaque on his teeth.
Right.
And my cousin was a dentist, and my father died.
That's what it was. It was the funeral, and
yeah, it was my father. They buried my father with a 5-wood.
Right. Right.
Yeah. They've so when a lot of nice things to my family.
So when
my mother was hit in a crosswalk in a wheelchair and killed, and Larry stole the flowers from her grave marker.
Right.
And then they my mentally ill sister was taken to bed by Jeff.
Bam Bam.
Bam Bam was.
That was my other favorite moment. I have three favorite moments of the season. One was Bam Bam Funkhauser, just that everything.
You gotta love the golf episode.
The golf episode I loved, and I, you know, not to keep kissing your butt, but the deadpan line where you told Larry that he was a murderer in the clubhouse killed me.
I love that so much.
I don't know why Morty Funkhauser hits my funny bone. I don't know if it's because I've gotten you to know you a little bit or whatever, but it's just, he's been a good wrinkle to the show.
It's so funny. I mean, I love coming up. I love showing up last night for support.
Yeah. Right.
And he said, I don't need your support.
So what happened?
I got a full plate of food. And then after that joke, I said, come on, let's go sit at the table.
So what happened? So they asked you to be on one episode, and they just liked you so much they kept bringing you back? Or was this always the plan, that you were going to be a recurring guy?
I don't really know. I never talked to Larry about it. I mean, the character worked great. And Larry and I had such great chemistry that the character just grew.
Gotcha. And it's one of those things that they'll give you the heads up, like, what, a couple of weeks ahead of time, something like that? Or
as far as how many shows you're doing a year?
Well, just what they're like, hey, we have you for episode 2, 5, and 7. Can you work
exactly
this time?
Gotcha. Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been fascinated.
And Larry's on my show this year. He's on the third show.
Oh, beautiful.
But Super
Dave, the whole ad-lib thing, how much of it is ad-libbed? Like, how much of it is rehearsed? Like, because there's not really a script, but he tells you the situation.
Well, what there is, it's basically the same way I always did my show, is that it's an outline.
Yep.
So when you read it, you read it the day you get to the set, and you see in this scene where you're going. And then everything is ad-lib, all the dialogue.
All right, so back to the joke thing. So he told you that you were going to tell a crazy joke, but he didn't...
It says in there, Funkhauser tells off-color joke to Jerry.
So you must have loved that. You were probably excited to come up with the off-color joke.
Oh, well, this joke, I mean, where else in the world could I tell that on television?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah, that was... That brought the house down at the Simmons
House. It brought the house down. It's one of those times.
I was surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but because I assume Jerry is ad-libbing a lot of this stuff, too. Like, how easy and comfortable he was able to do it. Because it's not easy.
But the thing is, when you think about it, it's the best way to do comedy. Because you have to listen to the other person. It makes you form a character in yourself. And what I try to do is make everyone laugh.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do. So rather than just spewing lines that are written, it makes it a much more realistic, comfortable feeling.
But somebody like Larry, who was basically a writer, he did some stand-up comedy, and then he was a writer, and he was behind the guy's scene at Seinfeld. It's kind of amazing to me that he is able to just jump into this whole world and act and ad-lib and do the whole thing when he has no experience really at all.
Well, you know, you say no experience, but he was George. I mean, that's who he was.
But he wasn't playing George.
No. But on Seinfeld, when you write all those, when you write and you write the characters and you just know, you know what you want. You know what's funny.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he had a lot of experience writing and you know, experience. The funny thing is when Seinfeld first went on the air, it almost was canceled after 4 shows because the ratings were so bad.
I know. I
One
remember.
One guy at NBC kept it on.
Yeah. It was called the Seinfeld Chronicles.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, like looking at your career. This is the fact that you have bridged into Curb Your Enthusiasm. We're almost talking, now it's 2010. I assume Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to come back for one more year. I'm talking 5 decades now for you.
I've been around.
Starts with this.
I was 22. I was a head writer of the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Smothers Brothers, which, and what's weird, I guess we found this out when we did 30 for 30, is that people like under 30 years old or people under 25 just have no context of anything that happened, you know, because we did the USFL documentary, and like nobody under 30 had any idea that like Jim Kelly was in the USFL. It's not something they think of. So
I know.
So for
I'll
you,
tell you something funny. Vince McMahon contacted me and asked me if I would do the XFL in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
on radio, and I, you know, everyone wants to kind of do broadcasting once in their life. So I did the color commentary on the first game from the Coliseum, and it was insane. I mean, a guy got hurt on the field. It took him 30 minutes to get an ambulance. I don't know where they got it from. It's like they didn't have one ready. And the women were lifting their tops to the press box. And I actually saw a paraplegic in a wheelchair push down 72 steps at the Coliseum.
What?
Yo, it was crazy. Fist fights and everything.
Oh, my God.
So I said on the radio, I said, you know, this is really, because they wanted me to say it's family entertainment. I said, it's family entertainment, and this is Friday night, and I'm not going home till Sunday because I'm scared to death.
And that was it for you on the XFL?
Yeah, I did a few couple more games, and then that was it.
So you did, you said you're a head writer of the Smothers Brothers, which for
right.
It's Time.
Mark was my partner.
For It's Time, the cutting edge comedy show.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I played a character called Officer Judy, who was a cop who arrested people on the show.
And then you did, you were also on Sonny and Cher. You're in The Red Fox.
Yeah, and then I produced Van Dyke and Company. I did a lot of stuff. But Super Dave is the most fun stuff I've ever done. And,
well, because you had a whole behind-the-scenes career, basically, before Super Dave.
Right. I was a writer and producer, and I've always written and produced. I mean, but doing Super Dave, and what I love is, there's a lot of young people who have heard about it but have never seen it. And I think that, I don't think they'll be disappointed. I think these shows are, I'm really proud of them.
Well, and for you, it must be weird that for, going back to that context that people like under 25 have, you're Morty Funkhauser to people under 25.
I know.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's great.
Now you're Morty Funkhauser plus Super Dave.
I'm having a great time doing, I did Arrested Development too, which I love to do. I did Ocean's 13. I've been very lucky, and I have a great time. I have a lot of fun doing what I do because what I pick. And the great thing about doing this show for Spike is Kevin Kay, who runs Spike, called me up, said he felt the time was right. He feels that the network is perfect for Super Dave, and he left me alone. And I said, let's do four shows and to try it, and we did, and he left me alone, and that's unheard of.
When you started that show initially, was it Showtime?
Yeah. We were the first series in the history of Showtime, in the history of cable, first comedy series with Bizarre, starring John Biner.
Yeah.
And then we did 6 years of that, 26 shows a year, and then we did 6 years of Super Dave on Showtime.
And I think didn't they have It's Gary Shandling show, too, that came after you? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, none of those shows are ever on. Super Dave, I don't remember stumbling across on one of my 700 cable channels anytime recently that I can remember. All right, well, so Tuesday, 9 o'clock, Spike. Now let's get to the important stuff. Lakers-Celtics.
Yeah. I like the Lakers, my friend. I like the Lakers. I'll tell you what I think the Celtics did.
Okay.
First of all, I think that Kirk Douglas is the only one older than the Celtic players right now. I find that roster, and you see what's going on. Every day someone's getting hurt.
Well,
but, the Lakers are having the same problem. Gasol and Kobe got hurt last night.
Yeah.
To me, the whole thing comes down to injury. When you get to the playoffs, I think if the Lakers are completely healthy and the Celtics are completely healthy, the Lakers win. Because I think if Bynum stays healthy, and you can put a front line of Bynum, Gasol, and Artest, and have Odom come off the bench, that's unbeatable.
And as you said, the health thing, not only for the Lakers and Celtics, but I think also for the Spurs. This really is the first time that we have...
I don't think the Spurs are in it this year.
You're out on the Spurs. Really?
I don't think they're in it. The reason I say that is I think they're so susceptible to injuries.
Yeah. Well, it is.
The great forward, he's like a shadow of himself.
Duncan?
No. Duncan's phenomenal. I'm talking about the other guy. The guy who drives the basket gets hit in his
ankle. Oh, Ginobili.
Who?
Ginobili?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's had some ankle problems.
And Parker and Duncan have been hurt. And, you know, when you have a team, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but when a team is every year deep into the playoffs, they play twice as much basketball as other teams.
Yeah.
So eventually your legs, I mean, I'm worried that Kobe last night, he pulled a groin muscle, so...
Well, listen, that's what I'm banking on as a Celtic fan, because Kobe, I think, played 208 games in 2 years, plus he did the Olympics. And at his age, it shouldn't keep going.
I know,
unhealthy
I know.
Like
but,
this.
But he's a phenomenal. You know, I had the honor of having breakfast with John Wooden about 6 months ago.
Really?
And I spent 2 hours with him. And I said, who is the greatest player you've ever seen? And he said, Kobe Bryant.
Really?
Which shocked me.
Over Jordan?
Over Jordan. He said
Wow. He's
never seen anybody work that hard on offense and defense in the complete game.
Hmm. Well, he probably just forgot watching Michael Jordan then. So I think
Jordan was phenomenal. Jordan was phenomenal. But I'm telling you, Kobe, you don't. Do you watch him every night?
I wrote it on Friday. Kobe has reached a point with me that I can't. I have real. True trouble hating the guy at this point. He just works so hard, I got respect.
That's the thing. Yeah. That you can't. You can't because he just works so hard.
What he did
you
this
know who
year.
Else I love. I fall in love with Gasol. He's
yes.
a great player.
Very, very, very talented offensive player. The thing with Kobe is that he keeps kind of adding things to his game, which was Jordan's most underrated
well,
skill.
Have you seen the post moves he's put
it's
in
amazing.
This year?
He's punishing. I mean, he's like a punishing low post player now. Yeah, it's
no one can stay with him down there.
Yeah, but I mean, on the other hand, I think that's going to be tough for him to do 100 times. You know, that style.
Well, I think that Wallace may be on the downside of his career
for the Celtics.
I think the Celtics banked a lot on him, and he really hasn't shown anything.
Well, all the indications from last year seem to point that might be the case. The bigger issue, though, is Garnett. Because he's right now is an average power forward. He's not.
I know.
He's giving them 13 points, 7 rebounds, and
I know
defense.
That injury. And Pierce got hurt the other night. Although I never believe a Pierce injury anymore.
Oh,
but
come
that
on!
That Laker fiasco when he went off the court, carried off in an ambulance, then he
come
comes
on.
Back 10 minutes later.
Yeah, let's talk about the 2008 finals. Did you go to those games?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You missed a 25-point comeback or whatever it was.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, yes, tell everybody how long you've been going to Laker games.
Years.
I mean, we're talking Jerry West, Elgin Baylor.
I'm a diehard. I love the Lakers.
1960s?
Really, yeah, I love the Lakers. I mean, I when I was a kid, I saw Elgin Baylor and Jerry West.
And then
yeah, I just.
You were the, what about the 33 straight wins team, 1972?
Yeah, that was phenomenal. That was Wilt.
Who was the best Laker team you've seen?
The best Laker team.
Because I had 87. In my book, I had 87.
Magic?
Ranked the highest. Yeah.
With Magic?
Yeah, when he all of a sudden decided, all right, I got to help out Kareem, I'm going to start scoring a little bit more.
Magic, Kareem, and Worthy and those people were just unbelievable. They were unbelievable. I do think, had Shaq stuck around, and had they put some pieces with that team, they could have really had something.
They should have dominated the decade.
They really should have. That was such a stupid move.
Well, you know, that now that we're finding out more information about Shaq, there has been a little shift of just everybody was, including myself, was so willing to blame Kobe for that fallout. And
100%,
it must have been Kobe's fault.
100%.
Yeah.
And now you realize, no.
Yeah, maybe Shaq's not a great guy. And then also you watch those tapes from their last season when they lost in the finals to the Pistons. Shaq was pretty overweight. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Shaq not in shape that season. And now it looks like, you know, he's left four teams on bad terms. And
Now he's hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, he's... He's very heavy, and he doesn't have the Phoenix training staff anymore. I think he's probably it's a
what
bad
do you
idea
think,
for him.
What do you think LeBron's going to do?
Well, what's your theory, and then I'll tell you mine.
I think he's going to stay in Cleveland.
Until they win?
Well, why would he go? My feeling is, unless they could bring in two other great players, why would he go to the Knicks?
Well, he shouldn't. I mean, he'd be an idiot if he went to the Knicks. They're 3 years away from even being a viable destination.
So what do you think he'll do?
I think he'll go a couple ways. I think the Miami thing is a real option because they have enough cap space this summer that they could potentially keep Wade, sign LeBron, and sign Chris Bosh. Like, that is all feasable.
And that would be a good team.
Well, yeah, and then we found out with the 2008 Celtics, like, you just need your three guys, and then you can figure it out. You can always get guys to play with you for 1 year or take less money or whatever. I think the Lakers scenario is a real option. The one that's been floated out, obviously it's all rumor and conjecture at this point, but if LeBron just said, I want to play in L.A. and I want to play with Kobe, let's make this happen. They like each other. The Lakers do have enough assets that they could probably pull off a trade for him.
But you know, here's what you'd have to give up. You'd
Bynum.
Have to give up Gasol.
Or Bynum.
You'd have to give them both up.
No, but Cleveland doesn't have a lot of leverage, though. Because if they're looking at a situation where they lose them anyway, then maybe an offer of Bynum, Jordan Farmar.
What about salary cap?
Well, that's the thing. It would have to be a sign and trade. Bynum's contract, you know, now that he's making big money, they could put up the they could add the contracts together. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying
you would have to probably lose either Bynum and Gasol.
One of the
and
two.
I
yeah.
don't think. I mean, I could be hit in the face for this. I don't think you're a better team.
Well, let's say they gave up Bynum, Odom, Jordan Farmar, and three number ones for LeBron. You wouldn't do that?
Well, yeah, that I would do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I would do.
If you're the Cavaliers.
If I could keep Gasol, that I would do.
Yeah, because if you're the Lakers and your goal is to just basically keep LeBron, keep Kobe, and keep Gasol, and then figure it out after those three. Oh, and I guess you have Artest, too.
Yeah, you got Gasol in the post. You got Artest at one forward, and you got Kobe and LeBron at the guards, or even put LeBron at a forward. You got a pretty good team.
And then they'd get any other free agent they wanted. And they'd get a couple
old
guys.
But do you actually think in a million years that's a possibility?
I do. Hey, if you read between the lines of all the stuff LeBron's saying, first of all, he won't talk about it really about...
But he says, I don't want to talk about it, and he's wearing a Knick hat.
He's doing that, and he's also saying he had a really revealing quote, I think, about a week, 10 days ago, where he said something like, I'm going to go, wherever I go, it's going to be to win a championship. So if he's going to come out there and say that the most important thing for me is a championship and obviously a big market, then the Lakers, you know, I guess you could say the Clippers make a little sense with their foundation, but he's not going to play for that owner.
He's not going to the Clippers.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play for that owner.
No, so then
Miami.
Because the first day of practice, he'd break both his knees.
Absolutely, and probably a third knee that he didn't know he had.
Yeah. No, he ain't going to the Clippers. I don't see him at the Lakers. I think he's either going to stay in Cleveland or go to the Knicks for $1 billion. Now, the Knicks have cap space. They could sign Bosch, too, couldn't they?
They could, but, I mean, it would be just him and Bosch on a crap team. And
we don't even know how good Bosch is. They wouldn't be nearly as good as Cleveland.
Well, if I had to bet my life on a scenario, I think the scenario that is the safest pick would be him just doing 1 year contracts with Cleveland until they win the title or until he finds a better situation. And that he just would kind of be staying, but not really, and maybe just waiting to see if the Knicks situation got better or whatever.
You know, that's the only thing I hate about sports right now, and I've hated it for a while. Years ago, there was such great loyalty, and the fans, I mean, you know, these players belong to the city.
Yep.
And now it doesn't exist. Watching the Yankees in the World Series just made me laugh because their payroll was... When they played Minnesota in the playoffs, see, every time a Minnesota guy reached first base, he would be discussing to share a salary with him. And he couldn't understand that that's what Teixeira made in 1 year.
Right.
You know, and then you go to second, and there was Jeter, and then he goes to third, and there's A-Rod. And you've got the pitcher who's 6'7", 550 on the mound.
Yeah.
Everybody's making billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, the Yankee fans are saying they didn't buy the title because this is what... They didn't spend any more money than they did the year before. And it's like, yeah, well, every year you spend $70 million more than everybody else.
Yeah, $200-something million, and Minnesota paid $50 million.
It's a terrible system. I don't And I guess they're never going to fix it either. They just don't care.
Let's talk about the football game last night, Brady. What about that call, Belichick?
What'd you think?
Well, how do you make that?
I was very upset. We're taping this on a Monday. I think it's running Tuesday, but I was as upset as I've ever been about with the Patriots.
I've never seen the Patriots make a dumb call like that. You usually never see them make any dumb call.
It was.
I'm not gonna take the chance of giving Manning the ball on the 28-yard line.
Well, and then there's so many factors that come into those quick passes. Like you get deflected. You could have
but
a pass interference in a call.
Yard line.
Yeah,
it's
not worth
factors.
No, I'm saying factors against why you would not do that. You have five things that could potentially go wrong versus just punting and making them go 75 yards or 70 or whatever it is. I don't know. The only way I could rationalize it is that Belichick felt like if we can't get 2 yards against this team, we don't deserve to win anyway. And if we get it, it'll be such an F you to them. You
but
can't
you don't
stop
do
us.
That.
I'm with you. I agree. I'm trying to. Maybe he just lost his mind.
He might have. He might have had some kind of a problem.
He
maybe had a mini stroke or something.
But it's possible after Super Bowl 42. Maybe he had like a slight some sort of something. I don't get it either. Hey, I wanted to mention one more thing about the Lakers. This isn't if you're talking about LeBron going there. You have gotten Wilt Chamberlain. You've gotten Shaquille O'Neal. And you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All of them somehow forced their way to play in Los Angeles.
Correct.
For reasons that are very easy to explain. You don't think, looking at the history of that situation, that LeBron would be the fourth guy in that group? Because there are some enticing things about being a Laker.
Look, I think if LeBron could come to the Lakers in a situation where they would have a great team and he would be the star. Yes, I think he would, but I don't know what happens. How do you pay people? They're going to have to renegotiate Kobe's contract now.
Right.
How do you pay LeBron and Kobe and then anybody else? Paul's got a big contract.
You have an ace in the hole.
What?
Joey Buss's son. He's getting more
involved. I'm talking about, isn't there a cap limit?
Well, Joey Buss' son will figure it out. The guy's clearly headed for great things after we saw in the finals post-game speech. I think he could pull it off for him.
You know, I think Jerry Buss is a great owner.
Have you gotten to know him at all?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I'm just talking about a great owner.
Well, he's willing to spend money.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
And Jerry Wedge, and I think Mitch has done a great job. Mitch Kupchak, I think he's done a great job.
I didn't like the Artest move. I think they should have kept Ariza.
You know something? I love Ariza, but what the Artest move in the playoffs is really going to pay off.
I hope it pays off for the Celtics.
No, it won't.
Because he's crazy and he'll take bad shots.
I don't know that the Celtics are going to get out of the East.
I'm worried
because of their age.
Yeah. Listen, I watch him back to back.
The only real hole the Laker has right now, and he's one of my favorite people on the earth, is Derek Fisher. He's just showing a little bit of age now.
Yes, because he's in his mid-30s now, correct?
Yeah, he plays so hard. And so I just don't think they've got to rest it.
You know, the other thing you have in your favor with LeBron, have you ever met a Laker who was like, wow, I don't like living in L.A. or playing for the Lakers?
No,
why
wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, if you're an NBA player, you want to live here and you want to play for the Lakers.
And you want to play for the Lakers.
And not the Clippers.
No.
Yeah. You're going to be competitive. You're going to be a celebrity.
My show is on tomorrow night at 9 o'clock.
Let's do it again.
No, it's not tonight. It's Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah, we're taping. This is running on Tuesday.
We're taping
right.
It for Monday, but it's on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I know. We got you. Four episodes.
Super spectacular.
Tell us about a couple of the celebrities that you have who are making appearances.
First show, Ginian Barbary has a tremendous chase from the paparazzi.
Okay.
And I try to break a NASCAR lap record, a one lap record, speed record, with two hidden explosives on the track. We have a $1 million ball drop, where somewhere during the half hour, if you call in and guess the exact second the ball hits the ground, you win $1 million.
Wow.
And the second show, Kevin Nealon is on the show in a sketch that I think is hysterical. And we have a golf exhibition. We have an electric car world speed record attempt. Third show, Larry David's on it. Carrot Top is on it. Mankind the Wrestler is on it, Mick Foley. And I personally fight six of the top paintballers in the world.
Excellent.
Fight to death. And in the last show, I fight Rampage Jackson, and Jimmy Kimmel's on it. And it's
that's what I saw. I like that you came up to a rap song. I don't want to spoil the joke, but it was that made me laugh out loud.
Did you like what?
I like that you came out for the fight against Rampage to like some heavy rap.
Oh
song.
Yeah. Well, that was with help from Jose Canseco.
Yeah. How does Jose Canseco not age or change in any way?
Because he, I think possibly his regimen.
Oh, okay. I got it.
No, I mean, he looks fantastic.
And then you have the season finale Curb on this Sunday. You're in that too, right? On HBO?
No. Last night was my last episode.
Oh, come on. Really?
I know. Yes, I know.
How dare they?
That's what I felt.
Jesus. So we have nobody from the Funkhauser family?
No, the Funkhausers are not in the last episode.
Ah, spin off? Maybe you could spin off. You and Bam Bam, you could get your own HBO show after. It would be better than Bored to Death. Last thing, you have to tell the Kermit Washington Rudy Tomjanovich story.
I was there.
I know. Tell us.
I was there at that game. I'll tell you what happened. It was one of the Rockets, Houston Rockets, was kind of scuffling with Kareem.
Yep, Kevin Cunnert.
Court.
Huh? Kevin Cunnert.
Oh, I don't
that's
remember who it was.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Okay, and Kermit was the kind of guy who wasn't, if you got in a fight with Kermit, he wasn't a dirty player in any way. He was a terrific player.
Right.
But if you got in a fight with him, there was no pushing and mouthing. It was a fight, and you just didn't win.
Right.
He was just his fists were like sledgehammers.
He was ripped.
And Kermit went to step in and protect Kareem, and Rudy Tomjanovich ran full speed toward Kareem and Kermit. And Rudy, I'm sure, wasn't going there to fight.
He's a peacemaker.
What?
He was a peacemaker. But
he was a peacemaker, but he was running. And Kermit turned around and swung at him and hit him in full stride. It was exactly like hitting a baseball.
Right.
And you could hear it throughout the entire forum. It was sickening.
Where were you sitting? Do you remember?
I was sitting about 12 rows up at half court.
Oh, that was right where the fight happened.
Yeah, it was sickening. It was sickening. And he just broke his entire face.
And then he hit his head on the way down. And he's rolling around.
Was,
there's blood.
It was terrible. And what was really terrible about it is Tomjanovich was a great guy. And
yeah.
So was Kermit.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't cheap shot artists ever.
So he's rolling around. There's blood. They help him off. Did people there realize how bad this was?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding?
So you're like, that guy might die.
It was just like a baseball bat into the face.
Ugh. And then they kept playing.
I've never seen anything like it.
Then they kept playing after like a 15-minute delay, correct?
Took a little delay and then went right back to playing basketball.
Cleaned off the blood.
That's all. Well, mopped up a little of the blood and just went right back to, let's go get them.
Well, fortunately, the crowd, cocaine was so big at that point that the crowd was probably too coked up.
No one had an idea of what happened.
Yeah, they were just thinking about lines that happened.
Yeah, they all thought they had been hit.
That was quite an era.
You remember your old Celtics?
Yeah.
With Luskatov and all those people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was, you're going even further back.
Huh?
Yeah, you're going even further back to the 60s with Luskatov. Yeah, there's Kermit kind of, that was started to be the tipping point for, okay, maybe it's not a good idea to punch other guys on an NBA court.
But
you have footing. You have the footing, which makes it dangerous.
Do you remember the guy from Philadelphia called him Manchild? What was his name?
Daryl Dawkins.
Dawkins?
Yeah.
Daryl Dawkins. Remember when he swung and hit his own player?
Oh, yeah, the Maurice Lucas fight, yeah.
Yeah.
He hit Doug Collins in the head.
I know. That's so great.
Were you at the game when McHale clotheslined Rambis?
Yeah, that was the worst.
That was a great win for the Celtics, though.
That was the worst.
That was great. All right, well, we can continue this at the next weird cocktail party that we both end up at.
We'll do it. This was a lot of fun, my friend.
I told you you'd like podcasts. This is good, right?
I love podcasts. I don't even know what the hell it is, and I love it.
All right, so Tuesdays, 9 o'clock, Spike
Tuesday,
TV.
Tuesday, 9 o'clock.
Super Dave Osborne, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you. Please come back as the NBA season heats up down the stretch.
I'll come back. Maybe I'll come back every week until the show's over.
All right, as long as you want to come out, we'll
have it. At 9 o'clock tonight at 9 o'clock on Spike. I guarantee you, will they be entertained? You saw the episode.
Listen, Super Dave has made me laugh for 20-plus years, so nothing's changed now.
All right, this was great. I'm coming back on the podcast. I hope everyone's hearing this.
Yeah, people will hear it. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Target to sound off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.